Good evening and welcome to Visible by Numbers. I'm your host, Allison Bachman. We have an exciting hour of talk radio coming your way on VBS Radio, so stick around. You don't want to miss this. My special guest this evening is John Holland, and we will be discussing his latest book, Power of the Soul, Inside Wisdom for an Outside World. I really don't think that he needs much of an introduction, but for those of you not familiar with his work, John Holland is an internationally renowned psychic medium and spiritual teacher. He's been lecturing, teaching, demonstrating, and reading for private clients for over 16 years. He is the author of bestsellers Born Knowing, Psychic Navigator, 101 Ways to Jumpstart Your Intuition, and the newly released and probably soon to be another bestseller, Power of the Soul. He hosts his own weekly radio show, Spirit Connections, and has recently starred in a two-hour A&E special, Mediums, We See Dead People, on the History Channel. It is my pleasure to have him here today with us. John, welcome to the show.
Hey, Allison. Thanks for having me.
Well, definitely my pleasure. I'm just going to take a minute here, and I need to let our listeners know, because usually we allow them to call in, but I'm letting the listeners of the show know that we're holding off all calls until the second half of the show, because we really want to give John a chance to talk about this really wonderful book, and I will let you know when you can call in. Okay, John. So first off, thank you for being here on the show, but more importantly, thank you for writing this book, because I read it, and I really know that it's going to help so many people. And I got to tell you that people often ask me to recommend books to them that might help them develop spiritually. And this book is officially going to the top of my must-have list.
It's a
great book. I don't even know where to start. And I got a lot of questions for you, but I just wanted to say this much. Your new book, Power of the Soul, there's just so much validation for me personally in this book. Because it confirmed what I have learned about the power of the soul through my study of numerology. And in my humble opinion, you've written a book that it not only is informative, but it's inspirational as well. And it teaches how to live a happier, healthier, and more purposeful life by striving, I think, for a deeper connection to your soul. It's just a powerful book that empowers the person reading the book, and these step-by-step ways that you have in there that transforms their life. It's a really great book. My first question, I guess, is John, what was your motivation for wanting to write this book?
Thanks, Allison. Sometimes I don't know what I'm going to write until I set out to do it, Allison, but I take a lot of cues from my audience and my students, and as many people, as much as I love, doing messages from people on the other side or, teaching, a lot of people were asking, how can I tap into my own spirituality? How can I tap into my own soul? So I think the times are changing. Yes, it's great if you get a reading, but a lot more people, they're reaching out to the outside world and realizing that they're not getting the answers that they want anymore from society or from, just the outside world, period. So I basically wrote it because it was in demand. People kept asking, what is a soul? How can I tap into my own spiritual abilities, my psychic abilities? So basically I wrote it because of it's what the audience asked for. So that's basically where I got my inspiration. And I wanted to show people that you are a soul, not that I have a body that comes with the soul. You are a soul that comes with the body. So it was the audience and just listening to see what was
right
out there, because I didn't want to write another book, that's already been done. So this is a Power of the Soul, Inside Wisdom for an Outside World. And it basically wrote itself once I made the commitment.
Right, right. Well, I think you kind of touched on my next question a little bit, but I was just wondering if you just wanted to take a moment and just explain the title. What exactly is the Power of the Soul, and what do you mean by inside wisdom for an outside world?
Well, first of all, I liken it to look at it this way, Allison. A lot of people kept saying, what's the difference between soul and spirit? Some people use it interchangeably, and people will use the word soul very often. That person has a lot of soul. Well, look at that dancer dancing with their soul. That artist is really expressing his soul. So soul, I've never seen so many different meanings for the word, but I liken it this way. Imagine the analogy of a car. The outside of the car is your physical body. The driver of the car is the soul, And spirit is the gas or the fuel that fuels the soul to move forward. So you have to look at it that way. So the inside wisdom is basically knowing. Well, first let me start explaining. The inside wisdom comes from firstly knowing that you are a soul. And as a soul, you're connected to everyone and everything around you. The same energy that makes up the universe, the cosmos, the mountains, the earth, the planets, is also inside of you. So the power that makes up the universe is also in part of you. It's God. It's that divine spirit, whatever you want to call it, or the divine source. So the inside wisdom is tapping into that spirit force that resides in each soul. And if you think about it this way, think of those Russian dolls where one sit in front and you sit inside each other where they get smaller and smaller. So you have the body that holds the soul, and the whole and the soul holds the spirit. So that's basically the power of the soul is spirit.
Right, right. Well, in a, you know, another thing that people question or, you know, they ask about is soul purpose, you know, and you talk a lot about this in your book. And I know that when I'm looking at a person's chart and working with them, talking about their numerology, I can help them to gain some insight into what their soul purpose is. I was wondering if you would answer the question, how do you as a spiritual teacher help them to find their soul purpose?
Well, first of all, to me, your soul purpose is not your career. It's not to be a medium, an author, a mayor, an administrative assistant. That's just your abilities and gifts. Your soul purpose, in my opinion and in this book, is to be all that you can be, a divine being from God, to be all that you can be as a spirit in human form and to help other people. That is, I believe, everyone's purpose. Be all that you can be. My gift of mediumship or my psychic ability is just a tool or a gift or a talent or an ability to help me be all that I can be. So your sole purpose is to be all that you can be. And what gifts or abilities in your life will help you be that? And there's many ways to find your gifts, talents, and ability is by finding your passion. And a lot of people say to me, John, I don't know what my passion is. And I'll say to them, go back to when you were a child. What did you want to be? What do your friends tell you that you're good at? What are you doing when time seems to fly by? Notice the books that you're reading. Those are great ways to tap into knowing what your abilities are and find your passion. I'm not the first speaker or writer to say that, but when you find your passion, that's your soul's way of saying, yes, this works for us or this works for me.
Right. Well, I know that when you're doing what you love or what you have a passion for, I really think that's the point when the doors start opening and things get easier and you just find things just going your way as opposed to trying to swim upstream, you know what I mean?
They flow better, yes. And
yeah, everything flows better.
When I made this commitment to do this work, and it took a lot to make this commitment because of my childhood of not being accepted because I was different, and that's why my first book, Born Knowing, Accepting and Embracing My Spiritual Gifts, I had a hard time accepting
right.
and embracing this ability. Once I did, after 9 years of working, I made the commitment, okay, can I do this full time? Will I do this full time? And, of course, what stops us is judgment and what will people say. When I made the commitment, that's when I started following what I was supposed to be doing, and my soul kept leading me back to this work as many times as I tried to get away from it. Once I got back to this and made the commitment, that's when the doors opened.
Right, right.
One
I
after
agree.
The other after the other.
Yeah, I found that very much so in my own life. Things just happened easier when I started doing what I loved. I want to take you to the chapter, you know, because a part of what you do in this book is you teach people. And in the chapter, Unfoldment of Your Soul Senses, you
sure.
teach us to live an intuitive life, to use the power of the soul for guidance. You teach the reader to become consciously aware of the workings of their soul and how to tap into this, what you would call it, intuitive guidance.
Yes.
You explain clairsentience, clairaudience, clairvoyance.
Yes.
And beautifully, really beautifully in that chapter. In depth. And in ways that really even helped further my understanding of it. And I was just wondering if you could briefly, you know, I know there's so many different ways to tap into your inner soul guidance, but if you could talk about that for a little bit and let our audience know a little bit about what you said in the book.
Well, a good thing to do is what I say to people, we're all born psychic, we're all born intuitive, and then we start school, and then around the age of 7, society pulls us into its arms, and we leave that creative right side of the brain that children have, that creative side, and we start using the left analytical side, which are numbers and society and, you know, studying books using the left side of the brain. We pull away from that, so no offense against the numbers.
Yeah, I'm laughing about the numbers, but okay.
Yes, I know you are. I know you are. But and what happens is with the soul, you all have one. Everyone who's listening to this program has a soul, and with it comes your intuitive abilities. It's part of the package. It comes with the soul. It comes with it. There's no way around it. So all I tell people is try to know if you're clairsentient, which means to feel. Many people know when they don't like someone, or they'll walk into a room and they'll know that something's not right, or if there was an argument that just happened there. That's clairsentient, the ability to feel. Then there's clairvoyance, to see. As many of you know, to see. Some people see images. Some people see energy around things. And some people see white specks of light. That's clairvoyance. And also, people who dream a lot could have the ability of clairvoyance. People usually have one or the other. Then there's clairaudience, that still small voice that we never listen to in our heads. The one that says, go down this road, it'll save you. And then you're like, no, this is the right way. And you find out you're stuck in traffic. Lots of times people hear their name being called and no one's in the room. So that's the gift of clairaudience. And right. If people find out what ability they have, they can tap into it even more. But a good thing to do to tap into your soul is to start every day. First say, I am a soul. I am a soul. It kind of makes you step back a little. But to take that 3 minutes in the morning just for you, just to breathe and ask your soul, what do you need from me today? What can I do for you? Just 3 minutes. But you know, Allison, people will say, I don't have time. If you don't have 3 minutes for yourself in the day to stop, take a breath, breathe into that center, and I mean in into the heart, wherever your power is, then you have to look at your life if you don't have 3 minutes. So start by saying, I am a soul, and just take that little time every day for your soul so you can know when it's trying to talk to you. And I'm sure we'll be talking about how it's... Because if you don't pay attention to it, it will get your attention one way or another.
Right, right. I really agree with that. So many times, you know, when I'm talking to people, I say, you know, it's just a short amount of time. You spend all this time worrying about your hair, your clothing, what you're going to do, your day calendar, you know, and just working on the inner development. If you just gave it 15 minutes a day, you know, that's working on, you know, a very important part of who you are, and it's not that much time to give, you know. I absolutely agree with you on that. There is one question that I have to ask, okay? You know, so often we're told, and when we begin to develop our intuitive abilities, we're told to remain grounded and balanced. And you refer to this in your book more than one place. And I was just wondering if you could explain to our listeners what being grounded and balanced means. I mean, how do you know if you are or aren't grounded, or how do you go about being both balanced and grounded? Because I get confused on that myself.
Well, because you're a spiritual being in human form, okay, mm-hmm. You're a spirit in a human body, a lot of people take metaphysics, new age, new thought way too far, way mm-hmm. too far. And they'll take spiritual workshops, and you don't need a workshop to be spiritual. It's how you live, who you are, how you live, who you love, how you love yourself. That's being spiritual, how you treat others. And people have a tendency to get a little spacey and not I know when I'm doing this work, I am using my upper energy centers, which is the sure. heart center, the throat center, the third eye. So my energy is up in my head using my higher spiritual abilities. So I will need to go to the gym, do some gardening, clean my house to pull me back down to earth, to ground myself. And a good thing to do is to go out in nature. And you know when you've taken the subject way too far, when you've taken metaphysics, when that's all you're thinking about, you're mm-hmm. talking about, and you usually know you've gone too far when you have no friends left.
Okay.
You know, you could take a healing class, and they're coming out with their hands up and ready to heal you. So staying right. grounded is remembering you are a spiritual being in human form. There's a 50-50 split here.
Working on all dimensions.
Exactly, exactly, exactly. Okay. And you know what, too? Say your partner, your husband, your wife, you may be a little more spiritual and a little more aware. That's great. And if your husband or your wife or anyone around you isn't, that's great too. Everyone is exactly where they're supposed to be. They may be a grounding force for you to pull you back, you know,
right.
pull you back to the earth. So that's, you know, it can balance each other. Because
right.
I know I would want, I know, I don't know about you, Allison, but would you want to be with another one of you?
Oh, no.
Yes.
Oh, no.
Thank you very much. Yes, thank you very much.
Oh, no. No, not at all. Thanks. Good point. I just want to take a moment and just remind those of you that are just joining Visible by Numbers that we're talking to renowned psychic medium John Holland about his newest book, Power of the Soul, and we're having a great time here, getting lots of really good information. John, I wanted to ask you, in the chapter, The Power of Love, you taught a loving kindness meditation, and this is one that I know by the name of Metta Bhavana.
Absolutely.
It's a beautiful meditation. I even had something rather miraculous happen from use of that meditation myself, so there's a lot of power in that. But I was just wanted to take a moment, and perhaps you could share a little bit about this meditation with our listeners and explain how this uplifts the heart and the soul, how this really helps in your spiritual progress.
That meditation, it's a Buddhist meditation, and it teaches you, basically, it gives you different levels to love yourself, and then you spread that, and then you spread it out, sending the love to someone else who you may know or love, and then spreading it out to someone who you may know, like a waiter or a waitress who you're not familiar with. You're even sending your love out to them. And then, of course, sending it out to someone who you don't like, who you may not be fond of. And if you can do that, then that's quite powerful. So when you do this meditation, you can literally feel the lovingness, coming to yourself, and it just branches out and out and out till it creates a ripple effect. And if everyone did this meditation, I think, I think it would just be a much more beautiful world because you're loving the people who are even hurt you. And I think it comes right back to you. And, it's a full circle meditation. So it's a beautiful meditation. And thank you. No one in all the interviews that I have done so far to date with this book, no one's asked me about that meditation. And so thank you for that.
Oh, you're welcome. I think it's extraordinary. And as I said, just from practicing it, I've just seen some miraculous things happen. So I just wanted to honor it because I think everyone should use that meditation. So that's why I bring it up. I just wanted to also ask you and talk about something else that I noticed in the book, that you shared many personal, and they didn't always seem to be easy, experiences from your life with the reader.
Yes.
And I think this is, first of all, I want to say it's commendable of you to just, share those intimate parts of your own soul's journey in your own life, John, to help teach us, through your own personal experiences. And I wanted to ask you, did you find that in writing this book, you did a little work on your own inner self?
Yes, and you think that you're writing for others, but the best thing that happened with this book is I didn't have a problem. It was every book people get to know me more and more, and at my lectures, and I figured it's great to you can write all this, but I needed a base from where it was coming from. And a lot of the stuff that was happening in the book was happening at the time I was writing it. It was almost like my soul was, I really believe that your soul will call to it what it needs in its learning. So the situations were happening in my life while I was writing this. So like I said, you think that you're writing it for someone else, but really, in fact, there was a lot of information that was meant for me in here also.
Right.
It was meant for me. And I look back at the book, and I'm like, oh, God, yes, I wrote that. And sometimes I'll forget that I wrote something, and I can open up to any chapter in this book. You don't have to start it from scratch, and I still learn from it.
Sure. Oh, I can see this as being a book that you would reference often. Just the exercises in the book and the various different meditations and techniques, it's just something that you would want to keep on hand and work with the book. On some days, just open it up to a certain chapter, just work on a particular chapter.
Yeah, you could write all the information you want, Allison, but if you don't give them any tools or techniques to do it for themselves, then I think that's pretty much, that's useless unless someone comes see me privately or in my workshops. But I wanted people who can't reach me, who come to my workshops or my lectures, to benefit from it also. So it's packed with techniques. And it took you many years to pull from your soul. Your soul is still part of you. So it's going to take just by doing some of these techniques, it helps you meet it halfway.
Right. Well, absolutely. I can see, that you must have, these techniques are really fully developed. And I have to say, okay, the one on worry and about perfectionism, I had to laugh a little bit when I got to that part of the book.
Oh, did I write that for you, Allison?
Yeah, I think you did, because I was like worrying about this interview and I was trying to perfect it and I was just like, And I was, I glanced at it this afternoon, and I was laughing. I said, well, you know what? You know, I think I'm just going to go take a nap instead of worrying about this
interview.
Good for
you. I hope you did.
I just said, well, to heck with it. You know, John's right. There's nothing I could do. It's going to be what it is, and I'm just going to take a nap. So thank you so much. It helped me out. Helped me out a lot.
Well, that's good. I mean, because that's people strive to be perfect, and in fact, you don't have to be. And a lot of people say, but John, I didn't lead a good life. I've heard a lot of people. How can I even begin to develop my soul? And I'll say it, bring all your baggage with you. That's fine. At least you're making an effort to do it. It's okay. You think God's going to turn you away because you did something? No.
Right. Exactly. I wanted to get back to what I mentioned earlier before you got me laughing about the worrying and stuff, but about you doing a little work on your own inner self and these wonderful examples that you used in your own personal life. And in one of them, you mentioned being an office manager. Guy who was in the travel industry, I guess. And he was a little bit abusive to you, and eventually you realized that you were reliving your childhood relationship with your father.
Yes.
And I especially liked it when you said, sometimes life has a way of putting the same lesson in front of you until you get it. So I was just wondering, you know, if you could explain what the lesson there was for you, John, because I just thought that it was a very powerful sharing of your own personal experience, and it really...
Sure. You know. For the people who didn't read it, it's relationships always mirror what we need in our lives, whether it's upliftment or you need to work on yourself. It shows all your flaws and all the parts that are powerful in you. And what a relationship will really learn, you'll learn a lot about yourself and your situations. I moved from California, and I had to get a job, and I took an office job for a gentleman that was in the travel business. It was just the two of us, and 3 months were great and very kind. But after the third month, things started to change. Now, here's a gentleman who has high blood pressure, had a triple bypass and a major temper. And after a while, he started barking at me from the office, at the yell at the top of my lungs. And he would bark at me, not like a dog, but, yell at me to get into the office. And he was always uptight and just constantly yelling. And I would walk into his office with the tail between the legs, like, yes, boss. And so after a while, after 9 months of putting up with it, I said, what am I doing? Anytime you have to say, what am I doing? Where is my life going? That's your soul saying, I'm trying to get through. So I quit the job, gave my 2 weeks' notice. And then before I quit, though, I realized that this gentleman was reflecting the same relationship that I had with my dad, the dysfunctional relationship. So right then and there, I said, okay, apparently just when I thought that I did all the work that I was supposed to do, like forgiving my dad and working on situations about that, I quit the job. And I said, okay, I got it. I made contact with my dad again. We had some more bonding, and that was fine. And that was the last job that I had before I did this job full time, where I finally said, okay, I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do full time.
Right.
But in my mind, I thanked that person for giving me that opportunity. He was a spiritual change agent for me. A lot of people say, well, what did I learn from a bad relationship? Think about it. If it shifted you in one way or another, many people have bad relationships, and then years later they'll say, now I know why I was in that. But it may take you years. So even your worst relationships, whether they're good or bad, there is definitely something in there for you.
Like what you say in the book, some relationships are simply there for you to experience the love, and others could be showing you what you don't want in your next one, right?
Absolutely.
Like
a person that keeps picking the same person over and over, they're not getting the lesson of, I deserve more. And
right.
They're falling into that psychological pattern. That's what they feel like that's all they're ever going to get. And in the book, I talk about going to therapy, because this is not just a psychic book at all. It's about the soul and loneliness and love and being soul solitude. That's why I wanted to cover everything in the book.
You did. You covered it all. You did. One thing I wanted to bring up, though, and everyone has a journal, but you recommend in several chapters about keeping journals, about your relationships, about just about everything, your dreams, your meditation.
Sure.
Keep track of your psychic development, your affirmation.
Right.
I was just, I think it's a really important thing to do, and I didn't want to not get this question in. Can you explain or tell us the importance of keeping a journal? Because
it basically, Allison, it gets things out of your head. A lot of us don't have people to talk to, so when you're journaling, when you're set to journal and you do some journaling, it's like you're making a commitment to your soul. And whether it's dreams, relationships, your secrets, affirmations, it's a way of communication. And I say, write whatever you want. This is your journal. Make it special. I don't care if you use crayons or markers to color it or buy one that resonates to you. So when you start to journal, all your feelings can come out. And it's like a two-way communication between your soul and you and the writing. But what a good thing about journals are is I have some from 10 years ago. And a lot of the stuff from my books are from those journals. And I look back at the progress in my life, and I look where I made progress, and I look where I didn't make progress. And it brings it up, and you know, where I can say, God, I still need to work on that. So I recommend to everyone a journal. Have a couple of them. And you know,
right.
Do the dream journal. If you have an intuitive hit, write it down before your logical mind says something else. So journaling,
right.
It helps you be more in touch with your soul.
Exactly. That's a way to communicate and what your
Absolutely.
Soul is telling you. Right.
Yes.
Right. Wonderful. Yeah, you really drove that point home in the book. You had some really wonderful advice about, I mean, we talked about relationships, we talked about journaling, all of our experiences, but you also wrote a lot about forgiveness. And I have to say, I especially like the way you said dealt with it, done it, and empowered by it. I just was like, okay, I'm going to put that up on the refrigerator somewhere. And I can understand how that not forgiving people can really, you know, inhibit your spiritual growth. And I just thought maybe, you know, this was just a beautiful chapter. Would you like to just, like, tell the listeners why forgiveness is so important?
Yeah, and I understand. A lot of people, I understand it when someone says, how can I forgive someone that's hurt me or my family, whether that's physical, emotional, mental? Forgiveness is all about choice. It doesn't necessarily mean you're releasing that person from responsibility for their actions. It's a matter of releasing the anguish that your soul is carrying around with it. So you're not releasing that person for what they did, but like I said, it's a matter of releasing the anguish that your soul is carrying around with it. And I believe if you don't forgive, it's like a clog in that spiritual, the fuel that comes into your soul. It can literally clog it. And when you don't forgive, it's, you know, and they say forgive and forget.
Right.
Sometimes that's hard. So by forgiving for you, forgive for you.
Do it for you.
Yes, do it for you. It releases. It helps you get rid of some of the, it helps you heal from the past so you can move on. And, you know, there were so many people that were hurt. And to this day, they're bitter, angry, mean. They're jealous, all because, of a situation that happened. And you have to realize, if they were to take away from many years of being bitter, you take that away, Allison, they don't know who they are anymore.
Yeah, you're right.
You see?
You're absolutely right. Yes,
yeah, and
right.
They have to learn that all over again. So, yeah,
right.
Forgiveness, very important to the soul,
right.
Even on an energetic level.
Right.
And, of course,
exactly.
I give examples about being, you know, myself forgiven in there also.
Right, right. Well, I think this goes back to, you know, the thing on forgiveness, relationships, love, everything. There's just so many exercises and techniques or tools. I mean, you give tools, whatever you want to call them, which empowers the person reading the book so they can actually go through these exercises, through these meditations. And you mentioned in the book that you've taught these and you've learned these and worked on these through all of your workshops. So, you know, I want to take the opportunity, or at least give you the opportunity, John. I mean, I don't think you need an introduction, frankly, but, you know, why don't you tell our listeners, people that might be interested in perhaps your workshops or your work itself, how they can get more information about you? Where would they go?
Sure, and just to touch back on the forgiveness part, too, a lot of times, Allison, people can have no problem forgiving others. A lot, I'm finding, more people have a problem forgiving themselves.
Oh, that's true. That's
you know, many of us will agonize over our past mistakes, living them over and over again in our minds like a video player caught in like a loop, a replay loop. It depletes
right.
our energy and prevents
right.
us from, you know, that forgive, you know, prevents us from forgiving ourselves.
Right.
But my workshops, they're all over the country. Hay House, I'm going to be in Vegas with them. And, you know, they can maybe catch me on television. And they just need to go to johnholland.com. But a good thing that I do, if they were to join my email newsletter, and it's right there on my site, every Monday I put an intuitive tip in their inbox because people say, I don't even know how to be intuitive. Where can I start? Well, here's one every single week, and I don't spam, and it lets people know if I'm going to be in their area, maybe what's going to be on my radio show, or I'll do a book review. So that's all on johnholland.com.
And I really do recommend signing up for that tip of the day. I find that sometimes I've signed up for it, and when it comes in my inbox, I always find that, you know, sometimes it's just a message. You know, it can come in the form of a message of something you needed to hear that day.
Exactly.
Synchronicity.
Yes,
it does. Listen, John, I still have some more questions, but I know that we have a lot of people that have read your book. They might have comments about your book. They might have some questions themselves that they'd like to ask you. You don't mind if I open up the phone lines to you?
No, that's what I do, Allison.
That's what he does best. Okay, so everybody, if you want to call in, if you got a question for John, I'm going to give you the numbers. The toll-free number in the USA is 1-877-876-5227. Toll-free in Canada, it's 1-888-810-8322. And in California, you can call direct at 530-876-3222. And the lines are open for your questions for John. Okay, John, I imagine we're going to get a few calls. I know that you know of friendscommunity.org, yes?
Yes.
Let's do a shout-out to Pam. Hi, Pam.
Hey, Pam.
I know that I've been visiting there a little bit, and they were all excited that you're going to be on tonight. I think we have a caller, John. Who's calling, please?
Hi there, it's Molly.
Hi, Molly. You have a question for John?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
How are you, John?
Good, Molly. How are you?
Great. I enjoy your books and everything about you. I really love what you teach out there. So
thanks, darling.
And I do have the power of the soul. I'm not through it entirely, but I really enjoy it.
Thank you.
I have a question about if you can explain to me the difference between earthbound spirits or what people consider ghosts and loved ones that we are able to communicate with.
Okay, the difference?
Yes. Some people say because I can communicate with my husband that they feel that I'm keeping him earthbound,
Yes, I understand, Molly. Molly, my belief is this, okay? And a lot of the Buddhists, too, say leave them alone, okay? That's what the Buddhists say. But, you know, Molly, people say, well, why do they want to talk? Why do they want to talk to us? And I say, because they can, Molly, because they can. And I don't believe that, I don't think you're holding him back, Molly. He has free will to come and go. And I look at it this way. When people go on vacation, they send a postcard, usually, okay? That's what I do to my loved ones. I don't call them back because, Molly, we don't call them, okay? We don't have that power. They come, you know, on their own free will. But I'll say, every once in a while, I'll say to someone who has passed in my family, send me a postcard, whether it's a dream, a synchronistic event. So earthbound are people, spirits that haven't crossed over because of whatever reason. They may still be attached to their house. They may be attached to a certain person or a condition here. So your husband, he is not earthbound. He is totally gone, and I think you know. I mean, you know that, Molly. He's over on the other side. But, you know, I think people say that too, Molly. I think it's us. We're holding ourselves back, you know, by saying, you know, asking your loved one to come to you all the time. But like I said, Molly, he has the power. If he was still here, Molly, in physical body, he'd be checking in on you, right?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
So it doesn't matter. You know, he's out of the body, so he's coming back and forth. And people say ghost also. Well, let's get real. It's very rare, where a place will be haunted. And I'm not saying it's not. A lot of times, and I've done this on TV, if a traumatic event happened at a place and I'm getting something, it's most likely because I am picking up that psychic energy signature, but not the spirit. I'm picking up the event that happened, not the spirit who's still, people think, dwelling still there. So you're cool, Molly. You're doing fine, and you trust that. And, you know,
yes,
he's going to keep coming.
What about
coming
the,
to you anyways.
Yeah, what about the communication? I mean, it's two ways, actually, between us. It's almost like we continue our relationship. It's just
absolutely
on a spiritual level.
Yes, Molly. A lot of people, you see, when the physical body dies, it's an interruption in the way we communicate. So it has to all be done by thought, whether you're hearing, seeing, or words. And it works both ways, absolutely. They want to talk to you, as much as you want to talk to them. So, yes, it's a back and forth. And, you know, Molly, some people may say, you know, Molly, I think it's all in your mind. What do you think you're doing? It's just, are you hopeful? You know, Molly, if it's him or not. You know that.
Oh, I definitely do. The only problem is he's smarter than me now, and the wife's supposed to be smarter.
Very good, Molly.
And he teases me about that, too.
Well, let's just say he's a little, let's just say he has a higher view.
Yeah.
How's that?
But it's not fair, because he knows more about me now, and I tease him all the time. He's not supposed to know that stuff. Well, thank you, John. I really enjoy you, and I like your down-to-earthness about all this that's coming out, because there is one side. I don't believe in ghosts, on my spiritual journey the last 2 years, and I like your refreshing to where you kind of bring all this in perspective,
a new type of perspective. Molly, did he have a son?
Yes.
Okay. Is this your boy, too, please?
No.
Isn't that funny? Isn't it strange how I just asked that? So he has a son that's still here?
Yes.
Yeah. Are you in touch with him?
Yes, I am.
Because he's saying, will you please acknowledge my boy? Now, he may have more kids, so forgive me, but he's saying, please acknowledge my boy, my son. So will you do that for me?
I sure will.
Okay, darling.
Thanks very much.
Thanks, Molly.
Thanks for calling, Molly.
You bet. Bye-bye.
Nice lady.
Yeah, she is a sweetheart. Sounds like a really nice person. One thing, I don't know if we're going to have time between the calls, but, you know, you were talking in this book about creating, you know, we're talking the chapter on healing and about your own healing sanctuary.
Yes.
Sanctuary. And, you know, I was reading about yours, and I got such a visual as if I was, like, actually seeing it in front of me. I was just wondering, you don't mind if I borrow that, do you?
No, not at all.
That was beautiful. But can you, you know, this creating this visualization, this place where you go and where you go for healing, where you breathe, all those things. You do, in between calls, you want to talk a little bit about that, about creating that special space?
Oh, you mean in your physical mind?
Right.
Oh, yes, okay. Because in the book I talk about having your own place in your own home, and some people may not have their own room. Then I said, then have your own corner that it's yours, and put up whatever spiritual pictures, your incense or a candle or whatever, and make it your space. So when you do some of your journaling, your meditation, that place is infused with your energy. And then I talk about going to the place in your mind. In my mind, in your imagination, because the imagination is powerful,
yes,
I imagine my own healing sanctuary.
Yes,
and I did it many years ago, and I still remember it. And I have a metal table that's fit to my perfect shape of my body. You can see the outdoors through the windows, the walls. Okay. There's a computer screen at a desk where I type in and ask for answers. So there is a way to go into your mind. So in case you ever want to take a break, if you ever want to meet your helpers or your guides or other people, you can invite them into your room. And once again, I am talking about the spiritual sanctuary that will always be yours in your mind.
That's what I was talking about.
Sure,
right.
You can borrow mine.
Thank you. I was going to borrow it.
You can borrow it.
Oh, thanks.
I think there's a for rent sign out in the window now, Allison.
Oh, okay. Okay, well, we got a caller online, I'm pretty sure. Caller. Hello.
Hello, Allison. It's Rosa. How are you?
Hi, Rosa. How are you?
Hi, John. How are you? I met you at the I Can Do conference down in Orlando. You were fabulous.
Thank you.
You're very, very good. John and Allison both, a quick question. I just got in from work, and I just turned in the Internet, and I got called. I got through for a reason. As follows, as a past 3 or 4 weeks ago, I had a premonition that came through. Allison knows about it, and it totally freaked me out because I was actually in the premonition of what happened down in Central Florida through the tornadoes. This has never happened to me before, and I don't know why it's happening to me. And I saw I went through the whole tornado and the whole episode that happened through Central Park, Florida during the time that it happened. And it's never happened to me before. And I don't know what to do.
Did you know it was in Florida?
Yes, I knew it was in Florida, and I knew it was in Central Florida.
Well, it just means, too, and it's Rosa, yes?
Yes, Rosa, that's my name.
Okay, Rosa, and I tell people in the book, too, that you are one big psychic antenna. So sometimes people will see things, And, you know, some people see plane crashes, and other people see someone in their family might be passing. And a lot of people say, John, what do I do with this information? Well, unless you know the exact location of where it's going to happen, or the plane crash, I mean, the number of the plane, where it took off, where it's going to land, or the flight plan, there's nothing you can do, okay? And especially if you were to call the police, they would just say, you know, you would hear the dial tone in a second.
Right.
So a good thing, what's happening here, Rosa, it's because you're becoming more intuitive. It's going to happen where you may pick up some other things, because negativity also travels very, very fast.
And
it may be there was nothing you probably could do about it. I mean, you cannot stop a tornado.
Right.
Okay. But I think it's because you're becoming more sensitive. But, you know, you have to put it out there to your guides, to God, too, and say, look, unless I can do something, you know, don't show me these anymore, because I don't get them really anymore like I did when I was much younger. But it's because you're tuning up your antenna. And what state are you in?
I'm in North Carolina, Charlotte, North Carolina.
Okay, so Florida's right there above you, yes?
Below me.
Below you, yeah. See, in my history, in my geography. But, and it just could be because are you developing psychically, or are you...
I feel that I am, but I just felt so bad. I mean, when I saw this dream and I woke up and I saw it on the news, I was like, I totally freaked out, because this has never, never happened to me before.
Yeah, Rosa, and trust me, you're not the only one that got the dream, because, you know, it's not, that dream is not just specific for you. It was probably open to other people, because the tornado being a tragic thing, it's going to travel faster, that negative energy, and you just happen to pick it up. But trust me, hundreds of other people also, Rosa, so it's not just you, which is a good thing.
Oh, which is good. But actually, I definitely will take your advice in telling my guides not to open my channel to something like that.
Yes.
Something a little bit more positive.
Absolutely. And Rosa, can I ask how old you are, please?
I'm 47.
Are you having a knee or a foot issue or something?
I'm sorry?
Is anything wrong with your knee, your lower legs, or your feet?
Well, I'm having problems with my lower back and my legs, yes. Yes, I have been lately.
Okay. Are you getting massage? Are you having this looked at?
I'm having massages, and absolutely. I had one yesterday.
Good girl. All right, that's what I'm picking. All right, I'm just picking it. I'm not a doctor, and I can't give medical diagnosis, but I'm just getting that comfort there. Yes.
I guess it's because I'm sitting down too much. I'm not used to this type of work. I'm looking for new work right now. So I hope to. That's where my mind is right now. Focus on Florida. Let's see if I get back down there. I'm not used to sitting down behind a desk. That's not who I am. So that's why.
But
I'm getting
you see,
a
lot. Rosa, too. You just said something very key. So
yes,
before the tornado, you were thinking about Florida, anyways.
I'm sorry?
You were thinking about going to Florida even before this tornado?
Yes.
Yeah, see? So your thought, you're reaching out to Florida, you could have tapped into the state of Florida, and who knows, it was like you met that thing halfway. Now I understand. You're thinking about Florida, so your thought, your aura is already extended out there, and your body, which is the reception, just picked it up.
Oh, that's probably
see?
What happened.
I think, it makes sense to me.
That's what
makes
it is.
Makes sense to me, too.
Good. Okay.
Well, thank you so much. I'll let other
thank
callers.
You, Rosa.
Thanks for calling, Rosa.
You're a wonderful speaker at the conference, and thank you, Allison, too, for letting me go through. It was meant to be tonight. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
You're welcome, Rosa.
Bye.
You know, when you were talking about the dreams, John, I was reminded of one where I journaled it, actually, and it came true. And I couldn't for the life of me figure out why I got the information, because what I dreamt was that I saw a dog that looked like it was scalped, and it looked like somebody had removed its fur right around its belly area. And it was about 6 months later that I had to rush my dog into the vet because he had swallowed half a ball. And it wasn't until 2 weeks later when he was laying on the floor and I was looking at him and I was thinking, gosh, you know, he looks like he's been scalped. Then all of a sudden I just thought, oh, my God, and I went to my dream journal and there it was.
Sure enough.
And I thought, well, you know, thanks for the message, but if you could have told me not to put up all the balls, that would have been good.
Yes,
you
know? I know. Isn't that amazing?
I could have just put up the balls. It would have been great.
Well, yeah, because
listen,
you speak to the symbolic mind, yes.
Right. I think we have another caller. Who's calling?
Tammy.
Hi, Annie. Do you have a question
for
John?
No, it's Tammy.
Tammy.
Oh, Tammy, sorry.
John, I read your most recent book and... also the psychic navigator, and I love you. You're great. You've helped
Thank
me
you,
so
Tammy.
Much. But I'm having a lot of things coming at me all at once, and I don't know exactly how to deal with it all.
Define what's coming at you.
I'm seeing colors and flashes off the side of my eyes. I'm seeing,
oh, yes. Okay. Yes.
Visions of, like, outlines of people standing next to other people.
Yeah, see, to me, Tammy, this is normal. Okay, go ahead. You know what's happening, Tammy? Your clairvoyant eye is opening, Tammy, okay? That's it. It's not too... You know, a lot of people, you're doing the work, Tammy, so your clairvoyant eye is starting to open, so you're starting to see things that aren't necessarily right in front of you. Also, I mean, physically. So this is normal. Every time someone's clairvoyant eye begins to open or meditation, they'll see flashes of color. They'll see flashes around people. They'll see that energy on the corner of their eye, Tammy, and then when you look, it's gone.
Yes.
Some people see those white lights, those little specks of white light, and they think they're floaters in their eye. So this is normal, Tammy. All that's happening, really, 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 all that's happening is your inner eye is opening, and that's fine, Tammy. It's fine. But a good thing to do, if you don't want to see it all the time, Tammy, you know the exercise in Psychic Navigator. Shrink that light or shrink that energy center. You're not really shrinking it by you saying, okay, I'm going to make it smaller. It will shut it down because you may not want to see bright lights and flashing, you know, colors when you're working, you know, if you're in an office or something. So you're fine.
Okay.
You are so fine. And you know what, too, Tammy? Uh-huh. Other people only wish to have what you have, where you're heading with this with the development, because it takes people some time to open their eye, and it's happening naturally for you. You must be doing some work, Tammy, to open it.
I'm constantly having dreams. I'm keeping a dream journal, and everything is coming true.
Yep, and you remember, Tammy, use the book Psychic Navigator. Once again, go back to that chapter about clairvoyance, because I want you to use that ability to help you, not just with, you know, it's great if you see colors and energy, but now let it help you with relationships, your work, where's your mother, please?
Here.
Okay. How's that going? How's your relationship with her?
Okay.
Okay. I don't know why I'm focused on your mother, but you may want to get some answers, you know, about your mom or your relationship, but your clairvoyant vision can help you by giving you symbols. I knew this one gentleman.
Yeah, that's another thing that's happened. I'm seeing, like, things. The other day I saw a skull, and I don't know what that meant.
You saw a skull?
Yeah.
But you have to ask yourself, Tammy, too. What state are you in, Tammy?
Ohio.
Okay. You have to ask yourself, too, now, in your journal, what does skull mean to you, Tammy, okay? And then write it down. What does skull mean to me? It means pirate. Sometimes it means death. No, that'll be your symbol. And then watch when the skull happens again and see and write. And when you do write in your journal, make sure you write when you saw it, what were you thinking, what were you going through at the time, because that skull may always be the same symbol. I'll see Niagara Falls every time someone's from upper state New York or Canada. I will see a ring go off the finger. That's kind of universal. If somebody gets divorced, I will see the outline of dogs, or, you know, the breed of dogs. So that skull will mean something. It may not now, Tammy, but it will. And you're learning your symbology, because your clairvoyant vision uses symbols and colors to get the message to you, okay?
Okay.
Okay, darling.
Okay.
And remember, though, too, you're fine, Tammy. This is normal.
You're fine, Tammy.
I know I'm fine.
Good.
Thanks for calling.
Thanks. Bye.
Really good explanation, John. I really... So many people, especially doing numerology, and you know that the numbers do identify abilities, really. There's certain numbers that are psychic. There's certain numbers that are empathic, clairvoyant. All of those things are written into the numbers, and when you're talking to people and you're telling them this, it never ceases to amaze me how the stories that they tell of the things that they've seen and the experiences that they've had.
Yes.
And your book is a really great way to empower them to understand what it is that they're doing, just like you
Absolutely.
Did.
Absolutely. I try to teach them the mechanics and the fundamentals, and there are some things I don't know how it works, but I only use myself on how it works for me and works and what works for my students,
right,
and it seems
right.
to be a good consensus.
Right. I think we have one more caller. We got to keep it brief, but who's calling?
Hi, Allison. It's Terry. Hi, John.
Hi, Gary. You got a question for John?
Yes, very quickly. I look forward to reading your book, John. It's been just wonderful listening to you tonight.
Thank you, Barry.
I have a quick question. It relates to sort of the higher energies when they're coming in very powerfully.
Yes.
I'm experiencing it, and it takes my breath away.
Yes.
And I try and do some grounding and stuff, but I find myself... You know, so hearing the thing about grounding and balancing, needless to say, my house is very clean right now.
Good.
And I was just kind of looking for suggestions how to feel sort of comfortable with it. Part of me feels like I need to let it expand, you know, and move through me. But what would your suggestion be?
Okay, so when you say energy moving through you, are you talking about someone who has passed? You talking a guide? What are you doing?
It's just higher energy, sort of Christ consciousness.
Oh, perfect.
Great.
Yes, yes. Okay, so you're working on your energy centers, yes?
Yes.
Yeah, that's very key because they're the ones that, because your body has this etheric wiring. So make sure your energy centers are all in line, they're spinning right, you got the colors going on. Open up to that. But it's also okay too though to say to the Christ consciousness, the universe, the other side, look, can you turn down the volume?
Right.
Okay? Turn it down because you're only a physical being made out of flesh and blood, okay?
Right.
And energy. So it's okay to say, just turn down the volume. You can say also, don't shut it off, but just give it to me a little slower. Give it to
okay.
me a little slower. Because if they see you're taking it, they're going to keep giving it, but they may not know, well, how is this affecting her? You know what I mean? They need you to go back. So have that two-way conversation when it comes in. And it'll be, in other words, you want them to put a filter on it.
Okay.
So you talk to them. You talk to that source and say, look, I'll be a channel, my will to your will, God, but please, just turn down the volume.
Right, because I went to a Reiki healer, and she said I was just from my heart up. Everything else was sort of, you know, so when you spoke of that spaciness, that was me.
Yes, and run the cord out of your base spine, okay? You know,
right.
Open them up and then close them down properly, and you'll be fine. So you're a better instrument, okay?
Okay.
Because that's all you are, really. We're just instruments.
That's right.
Right.
That's right.
Okay.
Well, thank you so much. It was a pleasure and an honor.
Thank you for calling, Terry.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, well, John, it looks like we're almost at the end of the show.
Already?
Already. Did that hour just pass like lightning or what?
Yes, they always do.
But I just wanted to say that, I was just amazed at how much you said in your book that I've learned just by studying numerology. And it just never ceases to amaze me how these messages, this information comes through people, whether it be someone like yourself, psychic medium, or somebody like myself that studies the philosophy of spirituality through numerology.
Yes.
I was just wondering, are you ever amazed by that, the fact that it comes through?
I'm totally amazed by that, and I love numerology. My friend Vincent Barra, Jay Barra, who's a psychic, he taught me numerology, and numerology is fantastic because everything revolves around numbers and sequences, and you know.
Right.
So, but I'm still amazed. This work still amazes me. That's why I'm still passionate, and I'm still learning. And I've been doing this for many years, and I'm still learning, which is a good thing.
Well, good. I just want to close the show. Just stick with me for a minute by your affirmation that was in your book. I am soul. I am unlimited potential. I now step into my power, and I appreciate all of me. The divine source flows in me, through me, and from me. I can achieve anything I want. I now know myself as I really am. I own my power. I am power.
Beautiful.
John, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Allison.
Such
thank
a
you.
Pleasure.
Thank you, the whole production team there.
Yeah, and everyone, please visit www.johnholland.com for more information on John and his work. And I just want to say thanks again, John, and I wish everybody peace, love, and abundance. We'll see you again next week. Good night, John.
Good night.